I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday. We're a couple minutes early, but we've got Wayne Breezy in a special situation. This is how great he is. He's double dipping. He's working and working and working. So, Wayne, how we doing, man? Where are you at?
Man, I'm on Block Island, man. It's somewhere in the Rhode Island area, I guess, you know, in the northeast of America. Here to scout talent.
That's awesome, man. I love it. Absolutely love it. The block is hot, as they say. growing up in my, I can't help it, man. I'm sorry. The South is just what it is. That's right. So today's going to be fun. We've been doing, you know, this segment now for about 6 weeks straight where we rank NFC West, just the different groupings, whether it's tight ends, running backs, defensive backs, whatever else. Well, this whole episode is going to be a little bit more coaching staff. We're going to go through head coaches, OCs, DCs. There's some overlap with each one of them, but I think that it's going to tell a really interesting story about the NFL. You know, I don't know Wayne's ranks, and he doesn't know mine, so we're going to argue a little bit. I'm going to kind of give the background to each one of these coaches. Wayne's going to put them in order, and at the end of the show, probably the thing I'm most looking forward to, we've gone through every single position group. This will do all the main coaches. We're going to tally the scores in the NFC West and see who's got the best squad. The 49ers got a resounding lead going into this. But, yeah, so, Wayne, how you feeling early on, coaching staff, all of this fun stuff? Like, are we going to have some disagreements and some arguments here, man?
I don't know. I think we may see the coaching staffs for each team probably similar, and our rankings might be spot on. But we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens. I will say this. Only one of these coaching staffs has a Lombardi.
That is true. And I want to give the value. Like, look, Super Bowl wins are paramount, but they're not the only thing.
I love it when you say paramount.
There we go. You got to put it out there, man. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs, all the hashtag BBs. You guys are the best. What's up, Raphael? Really appreciate you, man. We got Steven in the house. Absolutely love that, man. Right here, he says, Steven, he says, I have a few questions regarding the away game. What's the best platform to message you? Email's probably the best way. 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. Hit me up there for your road rush questions and all that stuff. What's up, Dave? Appreciate you, man. We even got RTP in the house. What's up, man? Vacation was great for me. Glad to be back in the lab working, though. And I even got my Xbox and played a little bit of college football, throwing 5 picks a game. It's what it is. I can't get off of freaking the All-American level. I can't go down lower than that, Wayne. And it's kicking my butt.
It's okay. It's the only way to learn, you know. Start on extra hard and pause and you figure it out. Like, you know, you're only going to get better. Practice makes perfect.
I'm doing the dynasty, build your own dynasty with Arkansas State. I got blown out by Ball State like 38-0. but that's okay, man. It's a 30-year dynasty program, and we are just getting things started there. Now, let's do this. And again, you know, not much news going on right now. Rookies are reporting today. There's no practice. They've got a week of rookie reporting. Today is weigh-in, physical, locker, equipment, all that stuff, extra meetings. Probably not even going to get out there on the field outside of maybe a conditioning test for some. But we're still probably 2 to 3 days out before we get news. That's why we wanted to wrap up kind of our whole NFC West breakdown now. Anything you want to add with rookies reporting today, Wayne?
No, they're just going to show up. They're going to get their, you know, their assignments, what they're going to be doing. I'm just happy that they're in camp. I know they're excited. I know they're ready to get on that gridiron, man, to get things going. But like John said, no news today. But expect some stuff, maybe some interviews probably by the weekend. Next week is really, really amps up, man. That's when the camp officially starts.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I got a handful of tickets already to some of the training camp dates. Going to meet some people out there. Going to have some fun. It's going to be great. And shout out to Jax. John and Wayne have a great show. Football is back. I missed it so much. Oh. I'll tell you this. The Receiver show on Netflix, awesome.
I love it. Love it.
College football 25, amazing. And the Hard Knocks offseason, I'm not a Giants guy. I feel like this is like my favorite Hard Knocks I've ever seen because you're getting a peek into things you never get to see before. I don't know if you watch it on HBO yet. But, man, I feel like I'm ready. It's time. Football is upon us. That's just what it is. So let's dive in. Let's go into these head coaches first. We're going to rank them 1 through 4. We'll go in alphabetical order with the teams. Let's start with Arizona. They got Jonathan Gannon. He's going into year 2. 41 years old. He's got 1 year as a head coach. Went 4-13 last year. Not a great year, but it was an honest rebuild, just keeping the quarterback. He's a defensive guy, but the defense wasn't really good either. 25th in yards, 31st in points in the NFL. He's got 2 years as an NFL DC with the Eagles. 16 years NFL experience, which is a lot. Talk to me. What are your thoughts, Wayne, about Jonathan Gannon, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals?
Ah, man, he came from the Eagles, right? I'm not a huge fan of Jonathan Gannon, but you know, he's got a good team. He's got a young team that has potential to be good. It starts with their quarterback. They have some good weapons out there on the offense. So I'm curious to see, like, you know, how it's going to play out for him. I think he's just in a tough division. The NFC West is going to be tough because you have maybe a couple of coaches that are like the face of the NFL moving forward. I don't think he'll be one of the faces that'll be on the face of the NFL. But you know, hey, Jonathan Gannon, man, he's got his cards and his deck pretty much stacked. But let's see what he does, man. And it starts with, I hate to say it, it starts with winning a division. I think it's going to be really tough though when you look at some of the other coaches in this division.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, I dislike Jonathan Gannon greatly from a personality standpoint. I did think that the team was much better coached than at any point under Kingsbury. Yeah. Like, but you know, take it over for Cliff Kingsbury is like, that's gold because you can only go up. He's by far one of the worst coaches in the NFL. And a big reason why I think the Commanders are going to be terrible this year. But anyway, I digress. Now I lied. I said I wanted to go alphabetical order, but listen to Wayne talk. I feel like there's two very clear, good head coaches and two inexperienced. I'll just say it that way. So let's go to Seattle.
Even though Gannon is inexperienced, that's a cool word you use for him. I don't think he's a good head coach.
I don't either.
I think McDonald, my man, Mike, I think he has a chance. Now this is new for him, but I think he has a chance to be pretty damn good.
He got three assistants hired as defensive coordinators.
Wow. Like,
I mean, what he did at Baltimore has kind of taken over the league because the Shanahan McVay system has dominated NFL circles, and the only thing that could slow it down was this McDonald kind of situation. And so he's 37 years old, first-year head coach. He's only been in D.C. for 2 years. That's it.
We have breaking news per Mike Garofalo. Sources say that Brandon Ayuk has officially requested a trade after an offseason of unsuccessful attempts to reach an extension. Despite a recent meeting the Niners haven't met, been willing to engage in negotiations since May. So Ayuk has respectfully requested a trade. Oh, sugar.
I wonder who his source is, because there's been some negatives out there. And again, I'm not the biggest Ayuk guy. This is Wayne's territory, so I'm going to defer to him on all things for Ayuk and all this speculation.
I still think this is part of his thing, though. Like, yeah. This is the next step. Deebo requested a trade. Ayuk's requesting the trade. I think this is just a part. It's a part of the step of the receiver in the contract negotiation. Now, I'm not saying this is fake or this is not going to happen. I don't think that the 49ers are going to get what they're asking for. So it's going to be really hard to trade Brandon Ayuk. It really is. I'm going to leave it at that.
And again, you always got to provide kind of brackets to have this conversation. The 49ers have control of his contract. He doesn't have to do anything. He's got a fifth-year option, $14.1 million. If he doesn't play, he doesn't get paid. And if he doesn't show up and he holds out, that contract tolls. He's still under contract the following year on that fifth-year option. If he plays this year, then the 49ers could franchise him just like the Bengals did to T. Higgins. Again, Brandon Ayuk has no control over that as well. The CBA has said teams have complete control over rookie contracts, fifth year, and then on for first-round picks. So that's great. Deebo requested a trade too. I get it. He wants to get paid. I want him to get paid. Can the 49ers pay everybody? You know, it's been rumored that they got a $26 million deal on the table. We'll see. Lots and lots of rumors. I don't like dealing with this stuff, but that's great. He wants a trade. If you're the 49ers and you're about to pay Brock Purdy everything, your Super Bowl window's wide open, what in the world could you get in return for him this year? That's why I don't think – if I was around Kyle Shanahan right now, and Kyle Shanahan, what would you like to say about Brandon Ayuk allegedly requesting a trade? Kyle Shanahan would say, man, that stinks. Glad to have him on our team for 2024. And we're excited to move forward with Brandon Ayuk.
He said, man, that stinks. It's just a tough situation, man. Look, I understand where Brandon Ayuk is coming from, but I also understand where the team is coming from. And, you know, if he is traded, the Niners have to find a way. Then I will say that the Niners are prepared for a situation like this. They proved it in the draft. They proved it by what they did in the draft to prepare for this situation. We just won't know the outcome. We won't know the outcome.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Right here, would you trade BA to the Chargers for Joey Bosa and a second? Yeah, that contract's gigantic if you look at the Bosa deal. Almost untradeable. They'd have to almost release him. Then you'd get him. I don't think anybody would take that deal. Oscar, my man, says Courtland Sutton and Surtain for BA. I don't even think you could get Surtain for BA in a first. I think Patrick Surtain's worth multiple first. I think he's the second best cornerback in the NFL. Still got a year friendly on his deal. I like BA. I don't think he could go for that. You could get Courtland Sutton, but again, is that going to help your championship window now or next year? I'm not doing that. And so right here, chill out, BA. It'll all get worked out. He's following the Debo playbook. Debo said, I'm talking to him every day about what to do. And so this is exactly what he did. What's up, Peachy? We got Vince in the house. Absolutely love it. So I'm not too concerned. I don't think that this changes much. He's got to figure out something to push to get something back. But I do feel like this increases the amount or the possibility that Brandon Ayuk will play this year on that fifth-year option. Do you agree with that, Wayne, or no?
I don't know. I still think that the Niners are probably trying to look to get the extension done. I really think Lynch and Shanahan wants Brandon Ayuk here. It's just for a certain price. So it's going to come down to them just finding whatever that price is. Can they figure out the guarantee number? Can they finagle that a little bit to make sure that's satisfactory?
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Whether you want CMC to get more or less yards, whether George Kittle is going to have a big reception game, all those different things, you just pick more or less on 2 or more of those things, and you can get paid. Download the Prize Picks apps today using code 49ERS, that's 49ers, and get $50 instantly. When you play $5, that's code 49ers on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I know that the Niners control the situation. I understand that they control this fifth-year option. I understand that they control the franchise tag next year. I understand for the next 2 years, technically, they control the rights of Brandon Ayuk. They also do right by guys as well, guys that they care about. And, you know, it's probably got to be the Commanders. I mean, like, those are the things that are out. And if Adam Peters is willing to part, give the Niners something in return, I could see the trade actually happening. It all comes down to what the Niners are requesting.
Terry McLaurin plus. I mean, that would be the minimum. It'd take Terry McLaurin
and a second. Bro. Right. Yeah. It's got to be a player and a pick at this point because the draft is over, guys. Like, it has to be a player and a pick.
I don't want Johan Dotson. Like, that's too much of a question mark. It's Terry McLaurin plus.
And I agree with you.
You look at that Washington team, it's terrible. And if it was a second-round pick, you know, a player plus the second-round pick, they're going to be terrible. I'm telling you right now, Washington's going to be a bad football team. They're going to be dead last in that division, and Kingsbury's going to be fired again and probably be promoted somewhere else. But, yeah, I still don't think Ayuk's going anywhere, guys. I hate to say that, and I wish I could give more, I don't know, like fun, hot level takes, but this doesn't matter. He's got no leverage, none, except for public persona. And the one thing I would tell you guys as fans, which we always go back to this, like, I want this show to make your fan experience better. This isn't that big of a deal. He has no control. This isn't the Le'Veon Bell CBA where players could hold out and demand what it doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think they understand that. I don't think they understand that players are now fined for holding out. Like, you know what I'm saying? So if he chose to hold out, he would be fined. And so
a million a game.
Yeah. Plus the practices. So I don't think he wants to do that. I think if they're not, like I said, if the Niners are willing to do this, they're probably going to get it done early enough. You know, but they have to get something in return. Like they have to get a player in return plus a pick. Like that's the only way you do it.
Now you give me Johan Dotson in there next year first. I do that.
See,
because I think that's
the
a top five pick.
Especially if they feel that like a Ricky Pearsall or Jacob Cowan or some one of these young guys, they feel like is gonna blossom into that. I mean, they did draft a receiver in the first round. So I can see them doing something like that, John. That actually makes sense. So it's either got to be McLaurin in a second or Dotson in a first.
Yeah, that's a top five pick. Now it lessens your Super Bowl chances, 100%.
Now like, that's the question. That's the key. Like people keep thinking, oh, he could be replaced. How are you replacing 1,300 yards? Like that's not and seven touchdowns and a guy that can always get open. That's the kicker. No pun intended.
And then from a Commander's perspective, hey, let's say we trade this. We got to trade a premium and we got to pay a premium because you got to do a deal. So
I think McLaurin has his deal though, right?
Still, Ayuk's going to be way more. And so they've got to bite the bullet because they paid such a huge signing bonus to McLaurin. So like they're taking the lumps there. And then on top of that, now you've got to pay BA $30 million, like, and you've got to give up those resources. So, like, this is why big-time player trades don't happen too often. And when they do, it's like A.J. Brown will give you a first and a third-round pick because that's easy financial sense. Nobody's getting burned. It's a gamble for both sides. And what happened whenever the Titans trade away A.J. Brown? The coach, the GM, the quarterbacks all got fired. All of them got fired.
They just went downhill.
Yeah, and now what happened to the Eagles?
Right, I'm with you. They went uphill. I got you, bro.
And I'm with Sean here. If I had it my way, sorry, BA, you're going to play out this year. You sign $28 million or whatever they got on the table, and if you don't, look, we're going to let you play out this year. We're going to tag and trade you next year for like a third round pick. I think that's probably the most likely, but that's what it is. So
yeah, but see, that causes friction. So that right there is where. It can be weird. That's now you're making a relationship weird. Like I said,
it's business.
I understand that, but it's still a relationship. And so, like, even under business now, you know, you're asking this kid to show up to work, do whatever. God forbid, there's no security in a lot of the stuff that's going on. So that's henceforth the deal that we're talking about, right? He's trying to create this type of security for his future.
I want him to get paid. And right. He is going to get paid. He's getting $14.1 million this year. Right. I want him to get a long-term deal. But you do cause friction. You go back to the Bosa versus Debo way of doing this.
Yeah.
Bosa said, I'm not talking about any of it. John Lynch said, I'm not talking about any of it. There was no comments until he signed right before and came out.
But that's not fair. It's not the same situation because you're talking about a premium position and you're talking about a luxury position.
So and a family that's already loaded and they've all got all the money. The generational wealth is big time different. And so I am not faulting Brandon Ayuk for any of this. Like however you want to handle your business, you're a man, your generational wealth for your family, you go about that. So if you can do anything from this, don't walk away pissed off at BA. Like he's doing what he's got to do.
Yeah, I think, and I don't understand why people feel like they're pissed off. You can't be mad at a kid that outplayed his contract and now is looking for more money from the team that drafted him. Every player does it. Now, how they go about doing it, that's different. But he's not doing anything wrong. He's just saying, hey, I'm going to request a trade. I'm going to start the engine on
if
this.
You don't want to pay me, send me to somebody that will.
Send me that will. That's all he's doing. That's it.
Yep.
It's not that he doesn't want to be a Niner. It's not the issue. The issue is the Niners don't want to pay him what he's looking to get paid. That's
right.
The issue.
Debo requested a trade about 2 months before this point. it's what it is. What's up, Rick Diaz? We got April B in the chat.
Says sorry we took that breaking news turn, guys. We apologize.
I love it.
Okay.
Every time we record with Wayne, something happens.
That's crazy, right? That's crazy.
I love it. Every CMC news that's ever dropped. has always been on a Tuesday at 10 a.m. It's just, I ain't even mad. What's up, Big Papa, man? I miss you, bro. Hope all is well, man. Hope all is well. So, yeah, you kind of take this for what you want, but we'll see. Don't dive into the speculation. I know it's fun, but just like, eh, that's great. That's great. Again, I always use this. What's up, Coach Cruz? He says, I think it's all Amon Ra's coach fault. He's the best. I always say this. I want to date Scarlett Johansson. I can request that all that I want. It's not going to happen. One, because my wife won't let me. She'd kill me.
I just wanted to know when the funeral was. That's all.
Yeah,
I was
I'm just saying. I'm yeah, just saying. Okay. She's all too right. nice. I don't think she'd kill me. Uh-huh. I don't know. I could see her like cut my brakes or something maybe.
Let me know where to show up, bro. I'm playing at the funeral for free.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. I love it. Gosh, man. I want a Poison from Bell Biv DeVoe to be the
that's the song right you want to go out to? Right. Love it.
Never trust a big button to smile. With a smile Greatest line ever. All right. Anyway, let's get back to the meat and potatoes. We got Mike McDonald. We got Jonathan Gannon. Mike McDonald, let's just do those two, and then we'll do the big two. Who do you think is the better coach? Who would you rather have as your head coach, Mike McDonald or Jonathan Gannon, if you could pick?
I like Mike McDonald because I feel like I think his defense imprint on the game, depending on, you know, the type of players, I think he knows which type of players that he needs to make his defense work. I thought Jonathan Gannon was a defensive-minded guy, and for some reason, he just seems like he fell off. I think Mike McDonald is going to change that defensive imprint for the Seattle Seahawks, and that's how they're going to start building. So they got a quarterback that kind of keeps chains moving. They got some studs on the offensive side. But you see in the draft, they built on the defense, man. They got my boy on that squad. They're going to be a problem. You know what I'm saying? So give them a couple of years. That defense will be trying to get back to, like, the number one spot. So it's going to be tough. That's why I said the NFC West, don't sleep on it.
Yeah. Shout out to my man, JP. Appreciate you, JP, in the super chat. Can't wait till Seattle again, man. Get some China food in our stomachs. That's always
Don't get me started, bro. Yeah. They ditched me on the last trip, but it's all good. Know what I'm saying? It's all good.
Oh, man. But I also have Mike McDonald 3. I have Jonathan Gannon 4. So now this is where I want to spend my time.
Okay, here we go.
The Shanahan versus McVay whole thing. Now, let's start with McVay, then we'll do Shanahan. These are my resume bullet points. So let's talk Sean McVay first, okay? Number one, his overall record, 77-49. That's a 6-1-1 win percentage, far superior than Shanahan. 7-4 playoff record. That's inferior to Shanahan. 2 NFC championships, same, but he's got the 1 Super Bowl win. Obvious, that tilts the scales. 3 division titles, just like Shanahan. 1 losing season. Shanahan's got 3. 5 top 10 offenses since he's been there. 1 top 5 offense. Only once. That's crazy to me. Now, the difference is, I feel like when they both took over in 2017, McVay had a much better team. Much better team whenever he stepped in. 49ers were dead last. The Rams were coming off that 7-9 bullshit with Jeff Fisher. You remember that?
I do remember.
That's just what they were. But the one thing I will say about Shanahan, he's much more adaptable to his players. Shanahan expects everybody to adapt to his system. McVay changes to help his players way more. So what are your thoughts on Sean McVay, kind of how you feel whenever people bring him up?
I think he's a great head coach, one of the faces of the league. A lot of coaches or a lot of new teams want to go young, and they want to either get the Shanahan or the McVay. I think that's kind of like how they want their coaches to be when they go this young route. You got to like McVay, man, because at the end of the day, he's going to, first of all, McVay inherited the team too. I want people to understand, like, he got a quarterback, he had a running back, like, he had a defense, like, he inherited some guys. Like, Kyle Shanahan had to start from scratch, right? And so, you know, that to me, that's a big difference in what they had to do and what they were working with. So if you feel like McVay got to the prize quicker, cool. He did a great job in coaching and getting to that Super Bowl and getting that victory. But he had a lot of those pieces before he came in and, you know, figured it out. Now, Kyle Shanahan, he's got a lot of work to do. We'll talk about him in a second. But I actually I don't like McVay, but I respect McVay, right? I respect everything that he's done in this league. And I hate to say it, players like to play for him. And he's kind of one of those guys where if his system ain't working, he's going to fit the system to work for the player. I feel like that's what McVay does. I feel like it's a little different with Kyle Shanahan. I feel like Kyle Shanahan, you got to fit that system. You better figure it out or his plays won't work. So, you know, that's the difference between the two. I don't know who's better. I don't know what you weigh higher. Is that Super Bowl? Give tip the scale for McVay to be the better head coach. He has the winning record. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to do rankings and talk about Kyle next or what. You tell me.
Well, yeah, let's do Kyle. Here's his 72-54 overall. So a 5-game difference, lower than McVay. 0.571 win percentage, 8-4 playoff record, second only to Andy Reid during this time period. 2 NFC championship wins, 3 division titles, 3 losing seasons. He had to build up. It was a bad team. 4 top 10 offenses, 3 top 5 offenses. He's 10-5 against McVay, and had to completely rebuild. So I do feel like, and, you know, shout out to Vince, Kyle and John had to build the best rosters in franchise history. I think a part of the decision has to go to team building. Yeah, team building, that goes Shanahan, 100%. And, like, I understand the Super Bowl win matters, but, man, you got to go back to that freaking drop tart interception, the phantom pass interference call in the Super Bowl late in the fourth quarter that was just asinine. Like, people don't understand how hard it is to win Super Bowls. Things just got to go your way repeatedly. Yeah. They shouldn't even been in the damn Super Bowl. But that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. So I don't know. How do you rank Shanahan versus McVay? I have my order.
I'm going to go Shanahan 2 and McVay 1. And the reason why I'm doing it is, and I know Kyle Shanahan owns Sean McVay, especially during the regular season. I get that. That game that where it mattered the most, though, Shanahan couldn't get over the hump. And McVay ended up getting the Super Bowl. So out of respect of that, I'm sorry, the Super Bowl championship holds a lot of weight. Had we won at least one of the two, it would be Kyle Shanahan with ease. But since we didn't do that, it's tough, man. It's tough. I got to go McVay. But it's so close.
I went McVay over Shanahan as well, but if I was building a team, I'd take Shanahan.
Facts, because I feel like that's the coach you want to play for and building the team. I just think McVay can get players to play football. It's like you go play a pickup game of football. Yo, I got these players. All right, man, I know how to utilize your strength. We're going to put it together. Boom, we're going to get this championship. But Kyle Shanahan, you know, if he's trying to build from the ground up, he's looking to build the dynasty. See, it's kind of temporary. Like, I feel like the Rams are a temporary good team, and the 49ers are going to be this next dynasty. But going McVay over Kyle Shanahan in this poll.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And, man, I put your rankings in the wrong place. I'm trying to total these numbers as we're rolling. Now, let's go OC because – this is where it gets a little tricky. It's going to get tricky with OC and DC because you got 2 offensive-minded head coaches, 2 defensive-minded. So let's just play this out. So right off the bat, you've got Shanahan and McVay. We just talked about them. Let's introduce Seattle and Arizona's offensive coordinators, okay? For Arizona, they got Drew Petsing. Interesting guy, 37 years old, young pup. Only 2 years as an offensive coordinator in his entire career. Last year, 19th in yards offense, 24th in points scored. Not good. He does have 11 years as NFL experience. And one of my favorite things I found out about Drew Petsing, he was a graduate assistant, a GA for Harvard back in 2009 when Kyle Juszczyk was a freshman, which I'm a connections guy. I thought that was kind of cool.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
So what were your thoughts? I mean, the Arizona offense last year started taking strides. They're running the ball well. What are your thoughts of Drew Petsing and kind of Arizona going into year 2 of this offensive system?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's key. I mean, I think people are getting back to football. Run the ball, set up play action pass, boot to the right, boot to the left, open up stuff down the field. I mean, teams want to run the ball. I wonder where they got that from. Anyway, my point is, you know, you're going to see this being a copycat league. You're going to see a lot of these guys do a lot of the stuff that, you know, Kyle Shanahan has, you know, instilled into what makes good football. And so I thought that their run game was good. They just added a nice running back, the Trey Benson they got out of Florida State.
Yeah.
They're going to – oh, shit. Him and James Connor, oh, God. They're going to be a problem. If they can establish the run and that offensive line does what it needs to do for run blocking, they're going to be a problem. They got a quarterback that can ad-lib a little bit, that can also run a little bit. If Kyler Murray's healthy, you can see an improvement from their offense. So I like their offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I like the direction they're going. You add in Marvin Harrison.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah, we're going to see it. And Trey McBride's a stud. I mean, you're going to see some high-powered offense there. Now, let's go to Seattle. This is a complete left-hand approach to get an offensive play caller. They get Ryan Grubb. Has never coached in the NFL ever in his entire career at any level. 100% straight out of high school and college. 48 years old, 9 years as a college OC, so he's play called a lot. The last 2 years he was in Washington, led the nation in passing yards, first downs, third down percentage, second in total offense, seventh in scoring. They led up the Longhorns. Now, his journey's interesting. He was Fresno State's OC for 3 years. He was Sioux Falls, again, these small schools for 4 years, and that's where he started working under Kevin DeBoer, who's now the Alabama head coach. 2 years as an OC in Iowa. I don't know, man. The Seattle offense is fun because they air it out, and he's got the weapons. What do you think of Ryan Grubb making this jump from college to the NFL?
I mean, it all depends on the player it's executing for him, right? So, like, yeah, I mean, can Geno Smith get the ball down the field? That's DK Metcalf all day. Yeah, but he's a dink and dunk type of guy. But you know what they're going to look to do? They're going to look to run the ball. When they look to run the ball, it'll set up play action pass. When they set up play action pass, eventually you'll probably see Geno take these shots down the field. So I think we're going to have pretty much four of the same similar type style of offenses in the NFC West. The NFC West is going to be an NFC West style offense, and you already know where it originated from. So, yeah. You know, I don't know. He's unknown. I got to put him 4 for being unknown. I got my man 3 from Arizona as of right now. But
okay.
Yeah, I'm going to put him 4 because he's got that unknown factor. But
I had him flipped.
Okay. Okay.
But again, I think they're close. And again, he's never coached the NFL. So I don't disagree with you. I'm just not a Drew Petzing fan. Mm-hmm. I'm scared of Ryan Grubb. I hope they don't start airing it out up there, but we'll see with it. Now, here's what's crazy. You know, we talked about Shanahan and McVay. I put Shanahan as my number one play caller.
Me too.
I prefer Shanahan over McVay, even though I think McVay
is the head coach. He's the head coach. Right. I'll take Shanahan as the play caller, which means he definitely should be calling the plays. Or, yeah. Can you imagine McVay, our coach, and Shanahan, the play caller? Man, we would win every game every year for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
That's a beautiful idea. And I like this question. Big Papa says, who has the bigger coaching tree, Shanahan or McVay? Shanahan. It's Shanahan because he started it, because McVay is part of his tree. Like anybody under like the branch of the branch is still part of the trunk, I guess you could say. But I do think it's closer than people think, because you look at the Bengals head coach and Minnesota's head coach. Those are almost exclusively McVay guys. I don't know. Now, do you give Kyle Shanahan credit for Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans? I think you do. And those defensive coaches that they've worked to. But I'd have to sit down and map it all out. But, yeah, Shanahan's got the bigger, you know, one. It's what it is. Now let's go DC real quick, and then we'll get to everybody's questions and comments afterwards. Yeah, we see the BA stuff. We'll talk more about that once we finish our rankings. Defensive coordinator. All right, now This one's weird because you got two defensive-minded head coach. Arizona, obviously Jonathan Gannon's the guy, but he has a DC there who is calling plays sometimes, and that's Nick Rallis. Gannon's the real DC. We understand that. Nick Rallis is 31 years old, 0 years as a DC before last year. They finished 25th in yards allowed, 31st in points. The Arizona DC, 6 years in the NFL, three with the Vikings, two Eagles, one with the Cards, and 1 year as a Wake Forest quality control coach. Arizona's defense was improved, but not good last year. Wouldn't you agree, Wayne?
Yeah, they had some injuries, right? So their best player was injured. Buddha. And yeah, Buddha not being there, it changes the whole defense, you know? It changes the way you trust players. I mean, Buddha's really the real leader. He's the leader. He's the coach on the football field. I think he's healthy this year. So with him being healthy, I think their defense trends upwards. And with the defense coordinator being there, I think the defense can actually potentially be a problem. They got some nice pieces in the draft as well. We broke down their defense. But I think the coordinator will be able to get those players to play, get them on the same page. But I think the fact that you have a leader like a Buddha Baker out there helps, especially when he's healthy. So I think their defensive coordinator is pretty decent. Can you do it?
Yeah. And again, we understand the IU. Yeah, you're back. You are right. IUK has requested a trade. We got that in the works. We'll talk more about that later. We addressed it earlier in the show, and we'll finish the show talking a little bit more about that. So we do have that, the IU trade request. Again, I think it's much to do about nothing, but that's okay. Now, this whole division is all young, inexperienced DCs. Now let's go Seattle. Obviously, Mike McDonald's the DC there, but Aiden Dirty. I love the last name, Dirty. 45 years old from London. I'm from London. 6 years as the DC for the London Warriors, 9 years in the NFL, five with the Cowboys, four with the Falcons. And he had 1 year overlap whenever Shanahan was there in the Falcons. So there's a little bit more of that. But Mike McDonald, I know I do that all the time. Seattle defense is a beast. You kind of addressed it. Which one do you like out of these two? If you had to pick just Seattle or Arizona defensive coordinators / head coaches, because it's a joint pairing, who do you like out of those two?
I think I like the Seattle pairing a little bit better.
Me too. And again, they haven't done anything. We'll have to see how it goes. Can they transition the Baltimore system to Seattle? They got some fun pieces there. So we'll see there. Now, the 49ers, they're weird. Nick Sorensen's 45 years old, never been a defensive coordinator at any level. That's a huge red flag. 11 years NFL experience as a coach. That's huge. Two with the Niners, one with the Jags, eight with the Seahawks, plus 10 years in the NFL as a player. That's a huge positive. But man, Nick Sorensen, to say that he is an unknown, inexperienced defensive coach, that's an understatement. Are you, again, we talked a little bit about this last episode. What is your kind of overall confidence level in Sorensen?
I have a bias here, but for some reason we're talking about a guy that's been with the same team, right? It would be almost like if I was confident in D'Amico Ryan's taking over for DC when he was the linebacking coach. So, like, I just feel confident because I feel like Sorensen knows his team. He knows his players. And so because of that, I don't know that my confidence is set to a little bit of a higher level. That doesn't mean he's going to succeed as a DC, but he has the pieces. Those players are here. It's not like he has a bunch of players he has to develop. The starters are pretty much there. So I think he'll have a higher success rate than most of some of these other young defensive coordinators, even though this is his first go round at defensive coordinating, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we redshirt players. Why not redshirt coaches and coordinators, right?
Yes.
Like, you kind of bring them in that same way. Now, you get to the Rams, they're in a whole mess. They lost their DC to the head coaching job of the Falcons. Now, they got Chris Shula, and you probably know that last name. He is the grandson of Don Shula. Nepotism Division 101. McVay, Shanahan, Shula. Don't let new people in. Just keep the old names in. That's what they do here. 1 year as a DC at John Carroll D3 College, 9 years NFL experience, 5 years college experience. this dude's an unknown as far as play callers and coaching. The name is known, but man, this is a huge transition and a defense that I think shocked a lot of people last year. We were expecting dog crap, but man, they went and got, you know, the only two rookies to have more than 8 sacks last year. They had 2 of them. Nobody else had 1 of them. So can those young pups continue to step up? Oh, and by the way, you're losing Aaron Donald.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Wait, I don't think on it.
No, because I don't. Oh man, the Rams are my second favorite defense in the NFC West. I don't know if they're going to be able to translate what they want with their defensive coordinator, but I think that they're going to be good. I just do. I think he's got a bunch of young guys. I know they lost their biggest piece in the world. But they drafted some dogs. Now, I'm not saying they're going to come in and be right away impacts. When I look at what Byron Young did last year for Seattle, for the Rams, I was like, yo, that's dope. Now, I know Aaron Donald was there, and that might have helped affect that. But I think they're going to be pretty daggone good. They're young, they're physical, and they're fast. I think their defensive coordinator is going to be a problem. I think they're going to be pretty good and pretty stout on defense because of some of the young pieces that they have. They're not great at one area, but overall, I think they find a way to get it together. If they're playing around later on in the season and they start gelling, that defensive coordinator is a success to me. Like, that's a win. And so yeah. I think it's gonna have some growing pains early in Los Angeles, but total, like, get down to the end, they're going to start gelling. And yeah, I can see Niners Rams. For the division.
There we go. So I want you to rank these. I want you to put them in the order. You could start at the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the last one you got to rank. And then no more after this. You're done. The Wayne's rankings are finished after this.
I think I'm going to go Niners.
One.
Oh,
Nick Sorensen, 1.
Rams, I something about Sorensen already having all pros.
That, yeah, it's a very, this is the most inexperienced coordinator group now in the entire NFL.
If we were talking Sorensen and he had a bunch of young guys, let's say he had the Rams, or let's say he had a different, it would be tough. It would be tough. But I feel like Sorensen is 1 with the Niners. I'll go Rams 2. I'll go Seattle 3. It's the Rams to Seattle is where I want to flip, but I'll go Seattle 3. I do like Mike McDonald and his crew, and I got to go Arizona 4.
Okay. Well, let me go up, and I'm updating these ranks, and I'm entering in all of these fun numbers into the computer system. So that's, let's see, 913. There we go. I'm a smart man. All right. Almost done with these numbers right here. That's 6, 9. That's going to go 40. All right, there we go. I'm a smart man, Wayne. I can do this on the fly here a little bit. All right, we've got the tabulations. We have ranked every single position group. I'm going to start at the bottom. The Arizona Cardinals came into last place. Now, listen to their positional ranks, okay? Now, I don't have out. These are just 1 through 4 of their ranks. Here we go. 4-3, 4-4, 1-3-3-3, 4-2, 3-4. 3-3-4. Not good. Total comes out to 51, according to the Wayne Breezy. They only have one group that is the best of the class. I wonder what grouping that was. It was the safeties. They have like the best safety group.
So we talked about Buddha, baby.
There you go. Now, again, the lower the score, the better. So 51 is the worst score. That's not good. Seattle, listen to these rings. 1-4-2-2-3-1-4-4-3-4-4-3-2-4-3. Total of 44 points. So there's 7 points gap between the number four team, Arizona, and Seattle. They do have two first-ranked groups. The defensive tackles, and what was their other one? I got to scroll down to see where else we had them at one. Special teams. Yeah. So those are the two, the kicker and punter. Then the Rams come in at 35. So they're, man, that's 9-point jump. Huge. Listen to the Rams. 3-2-3-3-4-4-1-2-2-3-1-2-1-2-2. A lot more ones, a lot more twos.
What was their overall score again?
35. So 51 for the Cardinals, 44 for Seattle, 35 for the Rams. No teams are really close. These are pretty healthy stepping stones. And I understand we're biased. You look at, you know, Wayne and I's hat. We're wearing the same hat, I think. Is this the draft hat? Do you got the draft hat on?
No, it's just a regular. I like to wear the mesh hats now when there I'm digging because they give my head some air.
There you go. See, practical and fashion, same time. Nowhere else but Wayne Breezy. Gosh.
And the crazy thing is people come up, they'd be like, yo, you're a 49er fan. Let's go. I'm like, ah, we everywhere, baby. We everywhere. We on the block.
I love it. Now, 49ers obviously come in first place. They have the best roster of football. That's not just a John and Wayne take. That's across the NFL take. And you listen to any of these, you know, generic NFL podcasts, and they're doing their ranking series. 49ers are all over the place. Now, listen to their – let's go through their totals. 1-4. 2-1-1-1. 2-2-2. 1-1-1-2-1. 2-1-1. They don't even have a third ranked or a fourth ranked at any level.
That's a good score because that's when I go get my, you know, my gums checked. You know what I'm saying? 1-1-1-1-1. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, I'll be brushing and flossing. Let's go.
So their total is 21, which is a 14-point drop from the second ranked team, the Los Angeles Rams. That's a healthy chasm. So 21 for the 49ers, lower scores better. 35 Rams, 44 Seattle, 51 Arizona. Now, I went back, just what we do, and looked at what we did last year because we got a track record now. Let's see how we did last year, Wayne. Our last place team was the Rams with 43 last year, and they ended up making the playoffs.
Wow.
Now, and I tried to figure out why. Like, what were we so wrong about? We don't wait rookies near as much
Puka
until they do it.
Freaking Nacua.
Yeah. What's his name? The defensive Nacua. Tackle. Oh, the edge rusher.
Byron Young. Yeah, I'm trying to tell you.
They went off. They got a lot of rookies that showed up out of nowhere. Now, we had Arizona at 36 and third. Then we had Seattle at 24 and the 49ers at 15. Now, we didn't rank as many categories as we did this year. That's why the scores were all lower. We added a lot more categories just because we want to get better as well. But it is interesting looking at it. The only thing we missed on last year, we were right about the first team. We were just wrong about the second team. That's really all we missed there. So there we go. Fun stuff. I really enjoyed that. Now look at Aaron. Hey, shout out to Aaron. He says, I love John not wanting to put out BA content and then getting coerced into it. Hashtag subverse. I'm glad somebody gets it, man. I want to start every show with, I will not talk about players' social media posts. And then I got to talk about their damn social media posts. And my phone's blowing up, and everybody that's not a Niners fan and is a Niners fan has texted me. Yeah, it's what it is. So now Matt Barrows has also confirmed the official trade request. So that's out there. So that is there. Thank you for acknowledging my pain and my inner demons, Aaron. But again, if you like, Wayne's on top of this more than anybody, and I trust Wayne more than almost anybody. There's a reason why I record with Wayne way more than anybody else ever, is because he's the freaking man. Go follow him. He is the fastest on social media, and he is up to date on all these things. The Wayne Breezy, wherever your social media is, go support that dude. That's what's up. Now, I want to get your opinion on this. Corey's the man. I'll let you take this one, Wayne. Do you need me to read it? I know you're mobile.
Yeah, you can read it. And
okay. Corey says, now that BA has officially requested a trade, the Niners should grant it. Unless they're willing to raise their offer, this is a permanent stalemate. What's your opinion on that?
I disagree with the permanent stalemate, but I understand where Corey's coming from. I just think this is one of BA's tactics. You know, it's like he got a toolbox, and which tool am I going to use this time? Because we're not getting anywhere further. I think the Niners will probably try to trade it, but I think their offer is their offer. I mean, they tried to trade him before the draft. Regardless of what the price tag was on Brandon Ayuk, no one broke it, right? So I guarantee you the price tag is still going to be high. And if Brandon Ayuk goes in, as I said, if I'm the Niners, I'm petty about it. I'll trade him somewhere where I don't think he's going to thrive. But that's not the Niners. They're not petty. If they like a player, they're going to look to trade him to a team, you know what I'm saying, that will fit that person's or player's needs. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's a stalemate. I think this is just part of the negotiation tactics. And we still got a long way to go, bro.
Yeah.
Long way to go.
Christopher says, nah, he signed through the year. Little prove himself to other teams during the season, then little bounce. And again, you're not going to little bounce next year. If you, again, guys, like BA wants a trade. Let's say that's what he wants. I still think BA would rather stay with the 49ers, but he wants to get paid above all else, and deservingly so. But let's say BA wants a trade. Well, the Niners have to agree to it, and another team has to agree to it as well. There's no doubt that the Commanders and their quarterback and Kingsbury and all that stuff won IU. There's no doubt about that. But again, you know, I want to go look at this. I want to look at this. We both brought up Terry McLaurin. Because if you're trading
McLaurin, my only issue with him is, can he stay healthy? And so, like, you got to forget, when you're trading Brandon Ayuk, you're not only trading a second team all pro guy, you're also trading a healthy second team all pro guy, kid that has an opportunity to be a number one wide receiver in the NFL. Unfortunately, he won't be that with the Niners because they're stacked. But, like, maybe that's why the Niners do want to move on. They can't fulfill his needs, or we don't know what Brandon Ayuk is asking. Everybody thinks it's money. It could be other stuff.
Could be. Now, again, let's play the speculation role. Let's do the Terry McLaurin down the rabbit hole. Why not? He's got 4 consecutive years over 1,000 yards, never more than 1,200. Hasn't missed a game in 3 consecutive years. He's played through a lot of being banged up and whatnot. He's not too old. He's 29 years old, 6'1", 205, a lot smaller than BA is. Now, if he gets traded post June 1, I mean, his deal, because he signed through 2 years.
So
the 49ers would only have to pay him $18.5 million this year. That's more than Ayuk. Ayuk's
getting more.
That's four more.
Four more.
But then next year, $19.4 million.
That's a deal.
But that's it. It's 2 years. Then it's a void deal. It's not a bad, but you've got 2 years of Ayuk for 14.1. And then like the franchise tag is going to go up for like, it might be like 26, 27 next year.
Yeah, but that's higher than 19.
It is.
And the Niners trying to save money.
So it basically costs the exact same thing in 2 years. If you let Ayuk play the fifth year and franchise him, because you're spending $5 million more this year. You get your opposite next year. So they basically balance out over 2 years. You want Ayuk for 2 years, or do you want Terry McLaurin for 2 years? Everybody wants Ayuk. So what would they have to do to sweep the spot where you're like, all right, second round pick, a third round pick, whatever? I don't know, man.
I just don't know how you. The thing about Brandon Ayuk, though, the thing that makes it a little bit more difficult is that he fits here, though. We don't know what Terry McLaurin is going to do. We know what he did in Washington, but we know Brandon Ayuk can't get open. And that's not going to – it's just tough. It's going to be tough to accept it. It's going to be tough to see him play in a different uniform, especially if it's an NFC team. But I understand it. You know, I understand it. But I don't think that's what the Niners want to do.
No. And the Niners don't have to do anything. I'm just going to keep, like, shoulder shrug. That's awesome you requested a trade. Do you not want to play? That's cool. You're not going to get paid in your contract tolls. You're going to sit out on a championship caliber team, In a contract year, I just don't see that. You want to get paid, you go play. It's not nice.
That's true. It's just tough, man. It's tough. But we knew, we had to know that this was coming. You know, I would say the negotiations, Corey, when you use the stalemate or at a stalemate, I would say the negotiations right now are just on vacation. I think what Aiyuk is trying to do is speed up the process. But we see it from every player. And you get this from these luxury guys, man. You got to remember, the Niners don't, I hate to say it in this kind of ways because it's going to sound bad, but they don't need a wide receiver. They don't need Brandon Aiyuk.
All right. Well, what about this one? Vince right here. He says, Washington, sticking with Washington. Brandon Aiyuk, let it be known that's where he wants to go. For a first-round pick and paid. Talk about Jerod Payne, who just got a huge deal. That makes it hard because he's got 4 years left on his deal. One of them is a complete void year. But his cap hits would be $16 million this year, $20 million next year, $22 million the next year. I ain't got a problem with that. Plus, that first round pick, I don't think Washington's going to trade their first rounder because it could be a top five pick. I think that's going to be like a protected NBA pick, personally. I don't know. You feel the same way?
Yeah, like it doesn't make sense for them to trade. They'll trade a player with first round pick ability, and they'll give us a second. I think they'll move on from a guy like maybe Tarik McNeil, especially with the injury
situation. Yeah. I'm with Rob D. He says, breaking news. I have officially requested $1 billion.
Why not just a cool trillion, bro?
Dude, why stop there? Yeah, you got to let it go, man.
Yeah, add a couple more zeros.
I like it. Right here, JP. Appreciate the super chat. If the DB from the Lions makes that ENT BA plays on deal, maybe. I mean, that was a huge play. Should have been pass interference. I can't believe the refs picked up that flag anyway, but we should have had the ball there no matter what, but it wasn't a crazy play. I would argue the best play of the entire year for the 49ers. Couple big plays in the Super Bowl. That play changed everything. It really, really did. So, yeah, we'll see what it is. But, you know, this has been fun. I want to let Wade go do his thing. But, again, don't let this BA requested a trade thing really impact you too much. It's one-sided. It's just what it is, and it's what it's going to be. So, Wade, any closing remarks? And whenever you're done, you can take us out, my friend.
Nah, Maple, just stay up, stay strong. Season's underway. We got training camp kicking off this week. The rookies are reporting. Next week, the veterans show up, and we're going bang, bang, Niner gang to the day we die, baby. John, thanks for the great show. I'm about to hit the stage and light it up for the people on the block.
Love it, man. Wayne's the best. Peace, guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.